Rick, we were talking during the break. I wondered how, when looking at voting attendance records, how people can miss hundreds of votes. And you were telling me it's an attitude. It's what you choose to do. You were telling me that there are people who hold office, who take vacation during session, who don't make it a point to be there, who claim they're sick and they're not. That must be kind of frustrating when you're on the job and you need the support of some of these people to get some things done and they're not there.
Yes. You know, over the last 6 years, I have watched people take vacation when we're in session. In fact, Paul Opsberg, a representative from Clinton County, and I stood on the floor in front of all the media when we were going on a summer break, and we demanded that we stay in session until the job is done because, you know, the budget wasn't done. And yet the leader of the House, leader of the Senate were saying, everybody's going home. No excuse.
Do we need 2 weeks off during hunting season, especially when you don't hunt?
I do hunt, but we don't need 2 weeks off. You know, I think it'd be nice if we had opening day off, but, you know, if we don't, I'll be on the job.
Doesn't that make you mad? Doesn't that irritate to other folks who you work with where there's work to be done, but the people aren't around, or you just, that's the way the world is, and you just do the best you can?
Well, when I went to the legislature 6 years ago, I was told, you know, Rick, it's not going to be the way you were as sheriff. We have legislative time, you know, your committees start 20 minutes late, and you show up for work, and things aren't done right away. You're called into session, but it may be 2-3 hours before you take a vote. I'm going to continue to work to change that. In fact, the committees that I serve on will start on time.
Well, let's talk about that as you transition from a state representative to a state senator. And I want you to talk about that again, because your district changes, a lot more responsibility for you as you are going to chair and vice chair many committees. Talk about that.
Well, I've been assigned by the leader of the Senate, Randy Richardville, to be chair of judiciary. It's a very important committee. A lot of issues go through there.
Like?
Could be criminal issues, could be issues on drugs, could be issues on almost anything you can think of. And I started, my mentor was Van Riggenmorter, a very, very famous man. He was the chair of judiciary. I've been in judiciary for 6 years, served under him, and really got, in my opinion, got to understand how to properly run a committee.
All right. Tell me about your relationship with Rick Snyder. Have you had a chance to sit down with the governor-elect? What do you expect from him as governor for the next 4 years?
Well, it's interesting. Rick Snyder and I went to the same high school, graduated from Battle Creek Lakeview. Now, I'm a little older than Rick, so I graduated first. But it's kind of nice when he walks in a room, he comes over and says, "Hi, Rick." So I do know the governor. I think he is a hard-charging businessman that's going to take office January 1. He's going to make executive decisions, and he's going to do everything he can to change his state so our kids have jobs. And that's the bottom line.
Well, you've talked about the priorities need to be making this a more business-friendly state, which, of course, will create jobs. The budget's going to have to be looked at. We're going to have to do whatever we can to help recreation in the state and also farming. What else could be done? What else needs to be worked on this year?
Well, I think that's number one. But there's many other issues, common sense things that I want to work on. For example, two University of Michigan scientists said there's a loophole in the Asian carp problem. You could collect bait, little minnows, in an infested area and then sell them. That could get into the Great Lakes. So a very common sense piece of legislation I'm putting in simply says you can't collect bait in infested waters. A minor thing, but that's a $7 billion industry.
When we talk about the Asian carp, we have talked with many officials from the state of Illinois, and obviously it's to their benefit that those locks be kept open. Well, the information that they provide to us states that there is no issue, that the Asian carp, for the most part, are staying upriver. when you look at the information, there is data, there is information, there are pictures that the Asian carp are in the Great Lakes. And this has become such a concern that it appears that President Obama has changed his stance from we're going to leave it as is to maybe we better investigate this. And now, you know, the government is going to be involved with this in studying this. What's your take on it? Is it an issue? Do those locks need to be closed?
Those are man-made channels or canals. If I were president and I had the power, we'd back up with cement trucks and we'd plug them today. There is no excuse for jeopardizing a $7 billion fishing industry. Think of all the tourism that could be ruined, sport fishing, commercial fishing. No excuse. And we hope that the electronic nets work and the scientists do their job. And that's a lot of hope, but there's no excuse to keep a man-made canal open.
Well, the Army Corps of Engineers is going to be studying this, but if you talk to the folks over in Illinois, they say a lot of jobs will be lost and a lot of people will be out of work. How do you battle that?
You know, everything is shipped in big, giant boxes now on those ships. All they'd have to do is simply grab the box with a piece of machinery, put it on a truck, and move it to the river and float it down the river, it would probably create more jobs.
I know something that's been of interest to you is synthetic drugs. You and I have talked on this program many times about the dangers of K2, which is a drug that's manufactured overseas. Kids have access to this. It's sold as a herbal tea or other type of, I don't know, medicine, if you will, but it's very dangerous.
Yes, K2 is sold under many names. And what it is, it's a synthetic chemical made mostly in China and Korea. It's brought over to the U.S., it's sprayed on leaves, and it's sold. To literally, a 10-year-old child could go in and buy this stuff.
And you get a buzz from it.
They can't buy a cigarette, but they can buy this stuff. Now, they sell it as a potpourri or an incense. It's marked right on the package, not for human consumption. But everybody knows they're selling these tiny little quantities for like $30, and the kids go out and they smoke it and they get high. A lot of them are ended up in the hospital.
What is BZP?
That is a fake ecstasy drug. It's another bad thing that's putting kids in the hospital. You know, all of these drugs we're talking about, they think this is like marijuana. This is 100 times worse than marijuana. It's a synthetic chemical. Now, the scientists that worked on this, Huffman, was a scientist down at Clemson University. He experimented with this stuff on mice and rats. He said, this is so dangerous. Anybody that smokes this is a quote, is an idiot. They're playing Russian roulette with their life.
All right. Well, you immediately got bills out on these issues, and it looked like it was kind of a done deal. But as I see in a story from the AP, the teeth were taken out of the drug ban. How in the world would anyone not be stringent on this?
Well, this is a horrible set of errors.
Who's responsible? Talk about the errors and who's responsible.
Well, yeah, absolutely. What occurred is we banned K2 and the drugs under different names October 1. They were banned from Michigan. Could not be sold. If you sold them, it was a felony. If you possessed them, it was a misdemeanor. And the ban was good. So then another package of bills was put forward late at night in the lame duck session, one of those round-the-clock crazy sessions when mistakes are made. Now, nobody knew the bill drafter made a slight error and left out the part about K2 and BZP. So the governor, in the light of day, just the other day, she had this bill in front of her, 4919, and her legal advisors told her, this has not been written properly. So instead of saying, well, I'm not going to sign this thing, sending it back to the legislature and saying, fix it, this new bill, she signed it, and then said, "We'll fix it next year, guys." I think that was a terrible mistake on the governor's part. You know, what sort of message was she sending out there to all the kids? All of a sudden, all of the university student papers were calling me, "Oh, is it legal again?" You know, so I was pretty upset yesterday, and I had some very harsh words because what kind of a message was being sent? However, I have just learned early today an email from the Prosecutors Association. They have been researching the law, and because it is a controlled substance, they could charge under a felony law. So what happened with that stroke of the pen? Now we're here to tell them on your show, university students, don't possess this stuff because you could be charged with a 2-year felony.
So you thought initially it was going to be taken off the books, but in folks doing their due diligence, it now it appears you could be charged with a felony.
It was taken off the books by the action of Governor Granholm signing the bill 4919. She wiped out the criminal penalty for K2 and BZP. However, after deep research for many hours, the Prosecutors Association has announced, "We've looked into this. It is a controlled substance. We could charge under a felony." So that's new information I've just received.
Will that stick?
You bet it'll stick. But I will say that was not the intent of the legislature. The intent was to go after the guy selling the stuff. That should be a felony. I don't want to see any university student go to prison for 2 years for possessing this stuff because they're foolish. And so we're going to address that.
Now, we don't want to pick on Jennifer Granholm. She's on the way out the door. She's already gone. But it didn't make any sense. Why do that? Why sign that bill?
It didn't make a bit of sense to me, and I was very critical. And, of course, she said, "Well, you know, the legislature sent me the bill. They should have known better." That's what happens in the middle of the night. You know, when the leadership of the House keeps people there around the clock, and sometimes the bill drafters make an error.